Welcome to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. Dr. Williams is the author of the acclaimed book, Shattered by the Darkness, Putting the Pieces Back Together After Child Abuse. Dr. Williams is on the senior leadership team at Baylor College of Medicine in Houston, Texas. And Dr. Williams travels the United States speaking and training professionals, parents, and victims about the importance of dealing with abuse and personal trauma head on and not being afraid to break the silence of your own personal pain. Feel free to call in to tonight's show at 888-627-6008 and speak with Dr. Williams and his guests live on air. And now, your host, Dr. Williams.
Well, good evening to Breaking the Silence. Here we are in the beautiful and the most beautiful city in the country, Houston, Texas. And we just want to welcome you to our program tonight. And I want to just promise you something. You are going to have a good time tonight. You invest a few minutes with us, and I guarantee you, you're going to be a better person. You're going to get some kind of tip from Michelle tonight and from me tonight that will hopefully make your life better. So we just want to welcome you to the program. Grab a cup of coffee or diet soda, maybe a Twinkie and some chips, and just sit back and enjoy the next hour that we have in store for you. Before we bring on our guest for the entire hour tonight, I am so honored. I want to let you know that next week, Terry Welbrock is going to be with us. Terry probably is one of my favorite people as far as podcasters, and she also has a YouTube channel that is just wonderful. And I met her through the ACES connection, and she'll be here next week, the entire hour also, and she's going to share with you her unbelievable story and how she dealt with it and how she helps people around the country and around the world. That'll be next week at Breaking the Silence at 8 p.m. Central right here. Every Sunday night we have somebody that is just going to be awesome to be able to talk to and listen to and share. And tonight I want to let you know that if you want to call in, you may want to tonight. It's 888-627-6008. You'll want to make sure you have a pad of paper and a pen, because I have a feeling that Michelle has told us that she even has a gift for everybody tonight, and she'll tell you a little bit more about that. But Michelle Chalfant, and I hope I've pronounced that correctly, she's ranked one of the top 5% of all podcasters in the entire world. And she has had over 1 million downloads, and that's just phenomenal in this world. There's so many podcasters out there. They're a dime a dozen. They come and go, and they live and die. And I tell you what, Michelle has, over the years, has built a foundation of just expertise and professionalism. And I listened to a lot of her shows, and phenomenal. And we're going to let you know how to find out about that. Michelle is a therapist, a holistic life coach. She's an author, a speaker, a podcaster, and she has developed something that we're going to be sharing with you tonight that is just phenomenal. It will transform your life, and has transformed so many other people's lives already in this country and literally, again, around the world. And it's called the adult chair model. So, Michelle, from Nashville, Tennessee, welcome to Breaking the Silence. Are you there?
I'm here. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, Michelle, it's an honor. I guess in a couple of weeks, I'm going to be on your program.
You are. Yes,
well, that's
sir.
Wonderful.
I can't wait for that show.
That's probably the only way I could have got on yours, is if I had you on mine first, because you're such a big person, you know. You have so many initials behind your name. It is unbelievable. It is MS, LPC, CHC, MHT, and then MOUSC. I don't know what else to do. But I tell you what, phenomenal. And the years of experience that you have as a therapist is going to really be, you know, the only reason I do this show is not only to help people, but it's for me to get personal free therapy from all of these wonderful, knowledgeable people. Every Sunday night, I have therapy class for me.
I love it.
Well, welcome to the program. And I've been talking to you and your lovely assistant, Sarah, the last couple, two or 3 weeks. We don't have anything pre-planned. I just want to start a conversation and just see where it goes. And hopefully people will join in and feel free to be part of the conversation and just pull up a chair and join us. But welcome to the program. Yeah. And I'm thrilled to have you.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here, and I'm really honored to be on your show. So thanks for reaching out and having me on tonight.
Well, you have come with high praise from so many people. And in this world, there's few people that you can really trust. And some of the people that I do trust said, you have to get Michelle. If you get Michelle on your program, it will be kudos to you, and all your listeners are going to be blessed. So thank you for taking the time out. I know it's probably past your bedtime, but
I'm
glad
you're to bed at 9.
Okay.
But I'm staying up late for you tonight.
Okay. Well, we get off straight at 9 o'clock, so you can just say goodnight and go right to sleep. Yeah. If you start snoring halfway through, I'll let Doug wake you up somehow with the buzzer or something. Well, tell me, Michelle, just a little bit about some of the listeners that may know about you, but if they don't, a little bit about yourself, what you do, and the people, and I guess in the back of my mind, I like to find out not what you do for a living, but what is your purpose for doing what you do? What are you called to do? So just tell me a little bit about yourself, Michelle.
Yeah, what I feel called to do is to really help people to transform their lives. Mm. I know that, this whole model, the adult chair model is what it's called, has come from really 25 years of my own life experience. And also prior to that, my own life struggles. And way back when, I'll give you a little bit of my background and then I'll go into the model if that's okay.
Sure.
Way back when, it was pre-internet, pre-laptops, pre-cell phones, when I was growing up. there was no such thing as Amazon.
Right.
Way back when, though, I grew up in a family where it was an Italian family, upstate New York. And we had a lot of drinking going on. There was, this, and when I say family, I just, because we were Italian, it's not just mom, dad, sister. It's mom, dad, sister, aunts, uncles, cousins, grandmother. It's like, they're
I'm
all
part
one,
Italian,
big,
too. I know.
Yeah, So it's like every summer we all lived together in a lake house. So we all were very close, but also there was a lot of drinking. There was a lot of confusion for me growing up in that environment. My father had an identical twin brother. He was the rager. He was a raging alcoholic. My grandmother, same alcoholic. So I grew up with, and nobody set boundaries. So anyway, the long story short is there was a lot of dysfunction growing up for me. And by the time I was in high school, I started realizing, which I didn't know exactly what was going on, but I was using a lot of drinking and drugs to numb out. And of course, in high school, a lot of kids are experimenting with it, but I was finding myself wanting to do it almost daily. And I went into college and the same kind of thing. And what I found was I was starting to then kind of spontaneously cry. And I said, this is not right. Wow. And I'm getting an undergrad in psychology. And I started understanding that maybe I'm depressed. I didn't know what it was, until I was getting my major. And I believe what I had was functional depression, because if you knew me and saw me, you would have thought I was fine. I had a boyfriend. I was getting halfway decent grades in school. I didn't look like a typical depressed person that was maybe in bed or not functioning. I was functioning, but inside I had so much negative self-talk. I was exhausted all the time. But I look like a typical college kid, I would guess, Mm-hmm. So I went and got I remember probably when I was about a junior in college, I had gone home for break and I was doing a lot of that spontaneous crying and I didn't know why I was crying. And I looked at my mom and I said, I really need help. I know I need help. And I went to a psychiatrist This is probably like 1989-ish, 1990, somewhere around there. Again, okay. You look it up in the Yellow Pages, which my kids don't even know what the Yellow Pages are.
Right, back then,
that's what we did, right? And I looked it up, and I went into the psychiatrist, and, you know, he gave me a quiz. It was like our test of 200 questions, and I filled it out, and he looked it over, and he says, yep, you're depressed. Here's your Prozac.
Oh, my.
And I said, but I really want to talk to somebody, you know. And back then, there were not, you know, therapists on every street corner, and there weren't even coaches that I remember. And I said, well, I want to talk to somebody. And he said, why? Here's your Prozac. You'll feel much better on this. This is what's wrong with you. And I said, oh, okay. And it never felt right. I mean, intuitively, I said, this is not right, but I'll try it because I really would like to stop crying. And I took it for 3 or 4 days, and I had such bad headaches. I'm very sensitive to any kind of medication. And I had such bad headaches. I said, I'm not going to do this. So in that moment, and I'm very driven. I always have been very driven. But in that moment, again, I was probably 20 years old or 21, and I said, you know what? I'm going to figure this out on my own. And I know I'm not the only one, but I have to figure this out for myself and others. And that was where it began. And I spent, you know, I went on and I got my master's in counseling, and I went on to get a license in counseling, and I just kept going on and on. And I really, that's why I have so many letters after my name. I've been certified in just about everything you can think of or say. Because I was bound and determined to fix myself. I was like, I will fix this. And I mean, when I tell you I've been certified, I really have been certified in just about everything. And what I found was there wasn't just one thing that was the answer. So I would go on to the next thing and the next thing.
Right.
So over the years, I found myself, of course, getting better little by little. I ended up getting married and I had kids. And you know, it wasn't until probably 10 or 12 years ago when I moved to Nashville, actually, I had met someone here, another mentor. I had many mentors throughout the years, many fabulous teachers. And it was in her group that it all came together. And that's where this whole adult chair model was born. And what I realized was I don't know what healthy adults look like because I wasn't raised with any. I had anxiety, depression, codependency, I was an adult child alcoholic. I had all of that, but I didn't have that touchstone of what healthy looked like.
Uh-huh.
So in this group I was doing here, I said, oh my gosh, that's what I'm looking for, is an adult, a healthy adult. So I kind of built this healthy adult, and that's what the adult chair is all about. It kind of gives people a touchstone for when you're in your codependency, what do you do? It's a very, very easy to use model. It's based on 3 life developmental stages, or 3 chairs, I call them. Mm-hmm. So we've got the child chair, which is age 0 to 6. We've got the adolescent chair, which goes from 6 to 25, which is really the pre-adolescent phase and the adolescent, the post-adolescent phase. And then, of course, if we had healthy modeling growing up, then we quite easily slide into what I call the adult chair. And that's where that healthy version that we all have within us exists. So it's that touchstone again. So when we're, you know, in an addiction or codependent or feeling sad or feeling, you know, in the victim seat, we're able to then point toward our adult and go, okay, wait, what's healthy look like? So that's really the whole thing in a very tiny little nutshell, if that makes sense.
Yeah. So do you take it through stages? So for instance, if I'm feeling, and I love, several of your programs that talked about low self-esteem, and then you looking at, we're going to talk about this a little later on, about self-love and how to, you know, fall in love with yourself. I just, your programs were wonderful on that. I really highly recommend everybody to go listen to those. So when you slip into these, so for instance, if I'm feeling down, do I slip in a certain chair, or
Do you always
start at the adult chair because I'm 56 years old, or do I go through where I'm at the stage? Which way does it work?
Yeah. So here's the thing. Most of us look like we're physical adults. We are 56 years old. I'm 51. But on the inside, I'm very often acting like I'm more of an adolescent, or I'm even in my child. So this is how it looks. So the first 6 years of our life, we're in this child chair, and that's what happens. That's really our inner child. So the child chair, when we're sitting there, it represents, this is where we learn all about true feelings and true emotions, true needs, true emotional needs. Like I need a hug or I need a kiss. I need to hear that I'm loved, or I'm lovable even. This is also where we learn all about creativity and spontaneity, passion, intimacy, vulnerability. All of these things happen when we're children. So those right. are all the things that happen from 0 to 6. Then around the age of 7, you know, that ego is coming online much more. And that's when I call step into this adolescent chair. So when we're in the adolescent chair, this is the development of all the ego personas, all the ego structures. So it's a seat of the survivor. We're living in past and future. We don't live in the present moment here. This is where we learn how to put we wear masks. So I need to become who you want me to be so I'm lovable. So we learn not to be ourselves when we're in this adolescent chair. We learn to be pleasers. We learn to be, again, we go into the victim. This is where codependency happens. This is where narcissism could happen. It's like all of these things develop when we're in this developmental stage. Then around 25, again, I think I read statistics. I remember taking a training with PM Melody many years ago. I said, is there anybody healthy out there? And she said, like maybe 2 to 3% of us make it through childhood and we land like in a healthy place when we're adults. But I said, that doesn't sound good. So really, I think we get stuck in this phase of the egoic structure of this, what I call adolescent chair, even though physically we're maturing as adults. So let's just say I'm in my codependency. So if I notice that I'm starting to fix other people or wanting to caretake, what I do is I go, wait a minute. You know, when we're in the adult, let me tell you, the adult chair is present moment. We live in fact and truth versus stories and assumptions, which is what we do in the adolescent. I only live in fact and truth there. This is the seat of the observer. This is where we learn about compassion for self and others. This is where we set boundaries and we find our inner strength and we know more of who we are in this chair. So if I'm in my codependency, I'm knowing that I'm in the adolescent, I'm fixing someone, I'm wanting to caretake. So with codependency, and it's outlined in this model, I know I need to be sitting in my emotions. I know I need to not reach and fix, and instead really step into my adult chair and feel what's going on instead. Feel that withdrawal that's coming up, or feel the pain of not reaching out and fixing. And that's the work that we need to do from the adult chair. Does that make sense?
It does. I can see the adolescent chair as being the one that most people get stuck in, and I may be completely wrong because I don't know exactly what these models, but it's easier for me to jump into that chair and be what somebody wants me to be instead of me being the mature person that I'm supposed to be and who I've been designed to be. And to be an adult about it. So I think that's why we get in those relationships to where they'll love me if I do this, 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 and this. And it's so easy just to mark those off the checklist and be successful instead of being who I was meant to be. And I can see myself stuck in that middle stage.
Yes, for sure. And those are the masks that we develop, you know. And it could be the mask of the person that's really funny or the person that's really sarcastic or, again, the person that doesn't even know who they are, but I become who you want me to be. So that's the mask. These are the masks that we all wear. And when we live in the adult, it's a process, what I call a self-realization. So it's the peeling away of these masks. And that's where the transformation begins and happens. It's also a way to get unstuck. You know, many people feel unstuck. And the first thing I'll say is, how does that make you feel? And I'm not as surprised anymore because I've done this for 25, almost 30 years now. But the people that say to me, you know, I don't even know what I'm feeling. I have no idea what my emotions are. Our emotions are our internal GPS systems. We've got to know what we're feeling. So I do a lot of work with just helping people feel what's going on the inside, which again is the connection to that inner child part. That's one way that we can do it. But it's also just really feeling what's going on inside the body. Like, do you feel a knot in your stomach? Do you feel, again, we can go back to that codependency. Like, well, how does it make you feel not to reach out and help your child or help your parent or help your friend? Well, I have knots in my stomach. Well, what's that feel like? Sit in that. And what we do instead is we are unconscious and we react and we fix that person without sitting and resisting and healing ourselves. So that's just part of the work, is a big part of it, is feeling our emotions and getting in touch with what's going on the inside.
Okay, we're going to dig into this a lot deeper. I want to go. We're going to take our first break. But when we come back on the other side of the break, Michelle, I want to deal with the words that you used quite a bit in the last couple of minutes. Mask. What's some of those masks and why we put them on, and how do we start taking those layers off? If you want to join in the conversation tonight, 888-627-6008. And we're pulling out our electric drill, and we're going to drill a little bit deeper into this and find out how we can get all into that adult chair and to help us out even better than we've ever been before. We're on the other side of the break, we'll be back with Michelle Chalfant. Welcome to Breaking the Silence.
From HCI Publishing, that brought you the international bestsellers, A Child Called It, and the Chicken Soup for the Soul series, comes the latest book by Dr. Gregory Williams, Shattered by the Darkness. This book describes the horrific abuse that Dr. Williams suffered at the hands of his father for over 12 years, and the damaging effect of keeping everything silent about that abuse for 30 years. If you're looking for that book that you can't put down, then pick up a copy of Shattered by the Darkness by Dr. Gregory Williams at all Barnes & Noble stores, Amazon, and Books A Million. Now, back to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams.
All right. Thank you, Douglas. I'll tell you what, with a voice like that, Doug, you ought to be in radio. That's all I have to say. That fantastic. You know, I'll tell you what, while you're on Amazon, look up, just type in The Adult Chair, and you're going to find Michelle's book right there. And Michelle, it's being sold right now for $7.99. Where does Amazon come up with their prices of how to sell a book? Do you know? Because my book right now is like $5.96. I can buy my book cheaper through Amazon than what I can from the publisher at my cut rate. And is that not unbelievable?
That's unbelievable. Yeah,
it is.
I don't know. My guy set it up. I don't know how to do any of that stuff. I have no idea.
I try, but boy, my publisher, thank goodness, does it for me, because I have know nothing about it. But it looks like right here, called The Adult Chair, A Guide to Loving Yourself, right here. On Amazon. Mm-hmm. So I just encourage everybody to go on Amazon right now and just see if we can buy this thing out. For $7.99, you can't lose for this. So great. Okay, yeah. Michelle, when you mentioned, let's jump back into this, the different masks that people put on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do you think we get those masks? In my situation was probably from childhood, but do you think we learn how to apply those more as a child, or when we go through the adolescence, when we're trying to fit in with crowds in school, or is it just as much of a problem as an adult? Tell me about what your perception is on the mask and why we wear them and how hard it is to take them off.
I think it's childhood, like child and adolescent, in my opinion, because we learn very quickly. You know, as little kids, we're trying to get our parents to love us. So we'll do whatever they ask us to do. We'll become, again, whoever they want us to become, so that they will love us. That's our thinking, at least. So I think that we form them as children. And I also know that I remember even when I was in grammar school, I was very, very shy and never spoke hardly at all until I was like 7 years old or 8 years old in second or third grade. I was so painfully shy. And then I got on the school bus in Catholic school of all things, and I started swearing to the older kids, like funny, in a funny way. And man, that got me so much attention. So all of a sudden I was the funny girl that was the, you know, that I used to curse all the time. So there was a mask that I adopted probably when I was in fifth grade. So I really feel like it's childhood for sure, 0 to 6, but also it could happen in the adolescent phase without a doubt. That's such a hard time as we're going through grammar school, middle school, high school. We want to become then not what our parents want, but what our friends want, because we need to be part of that tribe. We want to be in that friend group. So, you know, if you need me to drink a lot, then I'm going to drink a lot. I'll be the funny guy. I'll be the bully. I'll be the whomever. I'll be whomever that you want me to be so that I will fit in with your group.
Wow.
But I think that we become who we are not in order to fit in always. And it starts with our parents or our caregivers, whoever raises us, but it moves into friendships as we get older. And then, you know, by the time we're adults, it's like, okay, I've got all my different masks, whether it be the bully, or we learn about being victims or codependents or the blamer or the funny guy or the perfectionist or the people pleaser. All of these things happen as we're growing up. And by the time we're in our 20s, it's like they're pretty set, in my opinion. They're pretty darn set. Yeah. And we're using them to survive. But the problem is we've lost who we really are. Like the bully, the kid that's bullying kind of stays the bully as they get older. It's like, what's underneath that? The people that I've worked with, at least, they're in so much pain underneath. They feel so small, you know?
Yeah.
They feel so damaged on the inside. So then they have to be bullies on the outside. But when you get under that shell, it's like, who are you really? Who are you really? And they go, and they'll sit and cry. Like, I'm in so much pain. I don't know who I am. You know, I've lost who I am. So a lot of what I do with the adult chair is I help people to really build up their sense of self. And that was the self-esteem that you had referred to before. It's like, a lot of us, we just don't know who we are because we have become someone else.
So you know, I've done this my entire my entire life up until just a couple years ago. I had the mask, and I don't even recognize myself 5 years ago. I have changed that much. Just when I finally stepped out of, I guess, my own private darkness. This is what happened to me, and telling not only my family, but the whole world, I became a different person. And it wasn't that I developed a different person. I just am now who I really am. I was always trying to do anything to please anybody else. And I use this analogy a lot, or this phrase, but I always felt alone in a crowded room. And until I finally broke free of that.
So it's changed for you since you really were able to share your story. Did that feeling of being alone has changed?
Well, absolutely, because I couldn't tell people who I really was, what really happened.
Yeah.
And once I did, then my real self came through. And and now this is who I am. Love me or hate me, this is who I am, and I'm not going back into the shell.
Exactly. Isn't it? It's like the most freeing thing that we can do for ourselves, and also at the same time, the most terrifying.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
And I think that most people like you and I are putting your story out there. I've told my story on my podcast in great detail. I stand in front of people at the beginning of all my events, and I'll share in detail what my life was like as a child growing up. And I have no shame. It's like, it's just who I am. Like you said, like, if you don't like me, oh, well, like, I feel so free. And I noticed in my adult chair events, one of the first things that we do, the very first thing that we do, is an activity. I call it Crack the Mask. And people, I put them in groups, and I invite them to share their story with these strangers. And it's a small group. And I'll say, you know, you can always pass, but this is the first step to breaking free from the chains of the masks that bind you. And it is one of the most powerful things that we do over the course of 3 days. People will be breaking down crying. I've never said that out loud. Oh my God. And four people in the group said that they had the same thing. And that's the fear. The ego tells us, you're all alone. If you share this into the world, you're going to get rejected. And so you can never, ever, ever do it. But when you actually do it, people go, I mean, I've heard you speak. And I've heard you speak on shows. And you say the doctors that line up, you know, when you speak to these people, they line up and they go, me too.
Yeah.
Me too. So we're not that different, you know, from... So it's powerful.
I just came from California, and I spoke there and had a room full of therapists and psychologists and counselors at the Counselors Magazine conference, Newport Beach. And just as soon as I finished, they were lined up all the way from the front of the stage all the way out the door of people that wanted to just say, you know, I've gone through this. I'm dealing with this. And chances are, the people that are, and I told them this as I was closing out the session, chances are if you're in this room and you're a counselor, there's a reason you're a counselor. You want to fix everybody else, because you fixing one more person makes you feel better, even though you haven't turned the microscope around and looked at yourself. It's easier to fix somebody else than it is to fix yourself. And the reason for that, and this is one show that I want everybody to listen to on your podcast, is the one on shame. Tell me, your quick take, because I know time's just going to fly by here, but tell me your quick take on shame and what kind of baggage and weight that is for us.
I want to talk to you about what we do with shame too. And what we do with all of these parts, because I really feel like we're just full of parts, but that shame, and you know, shame is I am wrong or I am bad versus I did something bad. But with shame, we feel like I felt that way. I felt like I was damaged goods. And I even had a visual. I used to see myself as a damaged package that went around the world on Christmas, like a Christmas package that was taped and tattered and torn and had holes in it. And I used to say, that's how I feel on the inside. And we fill ourselves up with shame because we're not validated for who we really are. Most of us have unhealthy parents that aren't able to do that very well, unfortunately. Now, some of us have parents that are okay or pretty good, but most of us, I mean, I didn't do that for my own kids when they were little. I do it now, and they're 22 and 19. So, but when they were little, I didn't know. You know, I did my best, of course, but when I grew up, I didn't have the parenting where my parents said, you're so wonderful just because you're you or because you're this. It was always because, Michelle, you're so pretty. I used to hear that, Michelle, you're pretty. It's like, well, once I got older and I got wrinkles and I had one gray hair, I thought I was even more, I had more shame. You know, I didn't know, because I was validated for things on the outside. I was validated for snow skiing. I was a great snow skier and then a great water skier. Well, guess what? I don't live in the snow anymore. And I don't live on the water anymore, and I'm older. So therefore, who am I? So the amount of shame that rose up. So yeah, that shame is so tricky. And we've got to walk. This is the thing that I say to everybody, no matter what you're dealing with in your life. And by the way, we're all dealing with something. Everybody is. I don't care what kind of family, you've got something. We've got to look at it. We've got to look toward it and stop running from it. And you can drink and do drugs and binge out on Netflix and you can do all these things, but you know what? It's not going to change your pain. You've got to walk toward that shame and get to know it so well that it stops scaring you. And you can also look at it in the face and say, that's really not who I am. That's not who I am anymore. So with shame and with any of these things, whether it be codependency or shame or any part, lonely, I feel like it's just a part of us, and it's got a really, really, really loud voice. And it might be saying every day, like I had that internal voice, the ruminating thoughts that said, I'm no good. Nobody likes me. Oh. I hate myself. All of those thoughts daily in high school and college, every single day. And they were loud.
Do you still at times help me? This is free therapy for me now. Do you slip back into that every now and then? Or have you accomplished that and you've checked that off your list?
No, because I feel like I'm still human, but I don't have it every day, all day like I used to. But I'm still human. One of the things that I talk about on my show is when I moved to Nashville, it was not the friendliest place for me. Excuse me. I felt lonely. So I felt lonely a lot, and I did not have a good experience when I first moved here 12 years ago. And what I had to do was, again, and then my shame started bubbling up too, because I said to myself, there must be something wrong with me that these people do not like me. They don't like me. Why do they not like me here? Everywhere I've ever lived, they like me. What's wrong with me? And it was a beautiful opportunity for me to look at my shame again. I had already worked with it many times, so it came up again. I moved into it. I moved toward it, and I got to know it. So whether it be lonely, like I said, I also looked at my lonely. I sat down. This is a lot of the work that we do with the adult chair. It's probably the biggest thing that we do is we work with our parts. So whether that be the inner child part, there's so much richness in working with the inner child. And there's so many gifts within our inner child. But also, yeah, in the adolescent chair, it's a cast of thousands. We've got so many parts in there. So that's where our shame is sitting, right? That's where maybe a lonely part is sitting. So I had to turn toward those parts and get to know them. And once I got to know them, and we can journal about them, I ask people, where do you feel that part in your body? Can you give it an image? Can you journal to it? Can you talk to it? What does it want you to know? That's the question I always ask. What does this part want you to know? And oftentimes it says, I'm trying to protect you. Like, what's your purpose? I'm trying to protect you. Oh, wait a minute. Then I let it know. I educate it and say, hey, you know what? I'm 51 years old and it's October it's November 2019. I don't need you. Do you know who I am? What I find is, and I don't know if you found this in your work, this fascinates me. All of these traumatized parts are stuck in time. They have no idea that it's November 2019 that I'm 51. They think it's 1980.
You know, got that right.
Like, nope, you're 4 years old, right?
Absolutely.
Right?
So, absolutely.
But what we have to do, this is why numbing these parts out does not work. So when I work with my shame again, I'm looking at it going, hey, I want to get to know you. Sit down. Let's talk. I want to sit down. I close my eyes. I go inside and I go, what does this thing look like? Sometimes I have my clients draw. Sometimes I'll just have them say, hey, what does that thing look like? Is there a color? Is there a shape? Is there a temperature? What's the texture of that shame? Oh, well, it feels like metal and it's a gray box. Okay, great. How old does it think you are? And it's I get flabbergasted every time. They'll say, oh, that's weird. It thinks I'm 5. What does that mean? I go, exactly. It does not know. It does not know how old you are. So we work with it. We get to know it. And then I educate it and say, let it know how old you really are. Tell it you're 45 and you're an adult. And thank it because it's here to protect you. As backwards as that sounds, it really is. It's trying to keep you safe. But let it know you're here and the age you are today. And the transformation happens every single time. Every time.
Well, you've hit a nerve, a very, very powerful. That whole, I'm glad we got into shame because that was so awesome and life-changing.
Yeah.
Because it is. Even the shame when I look into the mirror almost every day, it's not every day, but I don't like what I see. And but I see myself, like you're saying, at 9 years old. I'm seeing myself at 6 years old instead of who I am today. And wow, that's powerful.
But you need to then work with that little boy and let him, you said you're 56. Yeah. I would sit down and I would talk to that little boy who's 6 years old and say, I'm here and I am grown. What I say is, I've taken a journey back in time to come visit you. Mm-hmm. I'm here to help you. I want you to know how much I love you. And I'm here with you. I'm so sorry for what happened to you, you know? I'm so sorry. I hate what happened to you. I'm so angry about that, but I'm here for you now and I'm not going anywhere ever again. And I'm here to protect you. Those little kids,
good
it's
stuff.
Powerful. And then those parts are unfrozen. And sometimes when we have a lot of trauma, like you've had, like I've had, we've got to maybe work with those parts a few times. I've done quite a bit of inner child work. That has been some of the most transformational work I've done, working with these little inner parts. Truly transformational because they're all stuck in time. They're frozen. They have no idea. They don't know that you're 56. They don't know. It's fascinating.
Well, I just had that Oprah Winfrey aha moment, and I appreciate it. We're going to take our last break and on the other side of this, because it's going to go just perfectly, Michelle, right with us having this beautiful conversation, is how do we start, after we take that off, how do we start discovering how to love ourselves? And we're going to talk about that on the other side of the break. Get involved in the conversation, 888-627-6008, and we'll be back right after this break.
From HCI Publishing, that brought you the international bestsellers, A Child Called It, and the Chicken Soup for the Soul series, comes the latest book by Dr. Gregory Williams, Shattered by the Darkness. This book describes the horrific abuse that Dr. Williams suffered at the hands of his father for over 12 years, and the damaging effect of keeping everything silent about that abuse for 30 years. If you're looking for that book that you can't put down, then pick up a copy of Shattered by the Darkness by Dr. Gregory Williams at all Barnes & Noble stores, Amazon, and Books A Million. Now, back to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams.
Well, we're back after our last break, and I am thoroughly enjoying this hour with Michelle. And I tell you what, we have the honor of listening to somebody tonight that is in the top 5% of the podcasters in this entire world. And I just want to shout out that if you want to get on her webpage, theadultchair.com, and check her out. You will also find out that this woman does not wear shoes in any of her web pages. But anyway, we'll take up an offering for those shoes later on and send it to her. But but also, I think, Michelle, before we get into this discovering self-love, Sarah mentioned to me that you're going to offer tonight your free, and I'm going to take this, inner child course. And that's on this website. Tell me a little bit about that. So if everybody listening, they want to get in there and find out about their inner child, and this is all free for the listeners tonight, how do they go about doing that?
Yeah, I have so many free resources on my website. They just go to theadultchair.com. But very specifically, I have an inner child resource. It's more like a resource than a course, I would call it. But it's theadultchair.com/innerchild. And then it'll take you right into it. What it is it's two meditations, and then it's deep dive journaling work, where I'm asking, I think it's seven different questions, but it's big paragraphs that really take you internally and also give you some guidelines on how we work with the inner child, just to take that journey a little bit further. The healing and transformation journey. So, but there's, one of the first meditations is on connecting with that inner child. A lot of people say, you know, I have no idea, how do I connect with the inner child? Well, I've done a whole meditation on doing that. And then the other meditation in there is on reprogramming negative thoughts, codependency, and negative thinking. People love that as well. So I've got a lot of other meditations on the website as well. So, but that's the actual, the resource for the inner child, which people absolutely love. So,
TheAdultChair.com // inner child, I-N-N-E-R, child, all one word. And that'll get you straight to that resource. And is it too late to get involved in the November journaling program that you have? Because it looks like you have a 30-day journaling thing. I love to journal, and I was going to join that. If we can, are we still able to get in on that program?
Absolutely. Yeah. So we do every November. This is our third year of doing this. It's the annual journaling challenge. It's the 30-day journaling challenge. You can go, again, if you just go straight to the adult chair, you can find it. But if you go to the adult chair /30 days, you can get on that way. But yeah, so you get a journal entry a journaling prompt delivered into your inbox every single day for 30 days. And if you missed the first few, you still can have access to all of those as well.
Okay, so I can start on day one today.
Yeah, you can do it however that you'd like to do. But if you sign up today, then you'll get today's. But each day is a new theme. So, for example, yesterday was on, let me think what yesterday was on, letting things land. You know, really letting things land. What I find is we're very good at picking out all of the negatives in life, but we really want to make sure, what are we letting land on us? Are we taking the good in? Are we taking when someone says something nice to us? Are we letting that land? But every day, I really spend a lot of times every year writing out some pretty hefty prompts because there's such power in journaling. And people often say to me, well, I don't know what to write. So I've taken that guessing game out. You don't have to know. I've written like mini paragraphs, really, that to really get your ideas going. And you put pen to paper and you let your unconscious go. And it's amazing. We have thousands and thousands of people that have signed up. Yeah, it's a powerful month for sure. For sure,
so you can even join that. Even if you don't know how to journal, this would be a good way to learn how to journal because you're helping them in that process, right?
For sure. We have one more free thing we're doing this month. I don't want to inundate your people, but if they would like this too, we have a membership site, and I'm giving that away for free this month as well. So you just go to theadultchair.com/membership, and you put the promo code in birthday, because it's my birthday month, actually. So I wanted to give back. I love to give back. And then you're able to go in and work with a whole month. I love taking people on a deep dive, really into themselves, to then uncover and discover how do they love themselves. So every month we do a new theme, and you get an exclusive podcast, a meditation, you get weekly journaling prompts, and then you also get a live Q&A with me. People watch me or people listen to a session that I do on how do you apply the adult chair. So it's all for free this whole month. So if people want to get in and check that out, they can do that as well.
So you just do the innerchild.com/birthday.
No. No, you go to theadultchair.com/membership.
Membership.
And then promo code birthday.
Promo code birthday. I'm writing this down as I go. Okay. Promo code birthday.
Yeah, I know. I've got three things. I didn't want to overload you. That's why we.
No, that's okay. I tell you what. Nobody get on my site, shatteredbythedarkness.com. Forget my site. Jump on theadultchair.com, and you'll be blessed this month. Okay, just for the month of November. Come back to me on December, and we'll let you on my site.
Yes.
These resources
it's
are
my
too
birthday
good to,
month, so I'm like, I love to give away things on my birthday. I'm like, this is my month, so I'm like, I give back all month. It's like
that's
Oprah's
awesome.
Favorite thing month.
Everybody gets a car. You get a car, I get a car, everybody gets a car.
Exactly.
Fantastic. Well, let's dive in. We've only got a few minutes left, and I'm just enjoying this so much. How do you discover, and you have so many shows on this, and I've listened to them. That's why I want to pick this wisdom out tonight and let everybody hear it. How to fall in love with yourself. What's the self-love stuff all about?
Yeah. And this is where, you know what, this is the thing. The adult chair is all about simple psychology. Like, I need things for myself to be broken down. And this model came from me wanting to learn how to love myself. So I broke it down. That's where the whole thing came from. What I've discovered about self-love, you know, we want to take a magic pill, right? Like, I just want to love myself, and that's it. No, it's a process. But it doesn't have to be a lifelong process. However, as we know with self-esteem, it does grow throughout our lifetime. But how we learn how to love ourselves is we get to know our parts. So those parts that we were talking about prior to that break, like the shame, like the lonely, like the codependent, instead of even liking those parts of ourselves, we want to condemn those parts and send them into the abyss of the shadow, right, in the unconscious mind. No, what we need to do is start looking at those parts and getting to know them. And what we find is, like, if we look at, let's say, shame or lonely. Remember I was saying with you, when I first moved here to Nashville, I didn't have the best experience.
Right.
So I was so angry with everyone that lives here, and this is just not my place, and it's maybe I don't know why they don't like me. I had all these reasons. You know, I came up with stories and assumptions from the adolescent chair, why nobody liked me when I first moved here. What I had to do, instead of feeling the pain of the existence I had when I first moved here. I made up stories and blamed everybody, okay? Not healthy. Then I had to turn toward that feeling of not feeling accepted, and I got to know it. And what I found was, as a part of me, it was lonely. So I got to know my lonely part really, really well. And guess what? Everything in my life changed. All of a sudden, friends started appearing. I wasn't angry. I didn't have to blame anybody. But what I did with that lonely part, as I got to know her really well, and when I closed my eyes, I still can remember, it was like 11 years ago, I closed my eyes, I said, okay, what's going on inside of me? And I said to myself, I'm just so lonely. I came from another state where I had a ton of friends. Like, I don't have a hard time making friends. What's going on? It doesn't matter. I'm just lonely. I got to know my lonely. And she was 5 years old, and her head was down. And I said, what's going on with you? And she says, I'm just so lonely. And I said, what's happening? And she said, nobody's paying attention to me. This is my inner five-year-old, mind you. And I said, okay. I said, well, you know what? I'm here now with you. Can we spend some time? And I just, this is all doing this with my eyes closed. I'm just imagining this happening. It's amazing. This is that inner child work that I'm talking about. And again, or just doing parts work. But I got to know that lonely part really, really well. And then I found that her reason for feeling so lonely was because no one was paying attention when she was 5 years old. And that's true. I was very, very shy on the playground. Nobody wanted to talk to me. So all of that was coming up. And I said, you know, God, I have so much compassion for that little girl. And when you have compassion, when you find out why that part is acting as it is, whether it be shame or lonely or codependency or blame or victim, I promise everyone listening to the show, when you go in and you find out why that part is doing what it's doing, you will have compassion for it, because it is doing what it's doing for a good purpose. It's trying to protect you. It's trying to keep you safe. These are the responses I've gotten for 20 years.
Right.
What is your intention? I'm trying to keep you safe. Why are you doing this? To protect you. When you hear that that part of you, let's say, is trying to keep you small or keeping you small because it's trying to protect you, and you're like, but I'm trying to grow my business. I don't want to be small. Well, I understand then. Oh, my gosh, it's trying to protect me. How can you hate that part? You can't. It's impossible. Suddenly you have compassion for that part. Once you have compassion and understanding, you can like that part. Once you like that part, self-love starts happening naturally. I promise. I've done this with myself. I've transformed because of this. It's that easy. This is not a hard thing to do, but we must turn toward those parts that we hate, that we don't want to look at, that we are avoiding, and get to know them and what their purpose is. And I promise, their intention is good. It's always good. And then you won't hate them anymore. And before you know it, the love that you feel and compassion for these parts starts to take over the dislike and the self-hatred and the self-loathing. And it becomes imbalanced. And then all of a sudden, the self-love grows and grows. I still get lonely every once in a while. And when I feel lonely, I will close my eyes and I go, hey, you're back. And the little girl goes, yeah, I'm kind of lonely. I go, okay. I'm here. Do you need me? Nope. I'm just lonely right now because I really miss my sister, my mom, my cousin, my who. Okay. That's okay. I'm going to be with you in it. That's the difference. I don't turn away from lonely. I'm with my little girl in it. I go, yeah, I'm going to feel that with you. And when we go in it with them, that emotion comes through us. It transforms. It changes everything. And then all of a sudden, there's no reason to be angry about it. I don't hate that part. That's the difference. That's how I healed my own depression, anxiety. I will forever work on my codependency. I just will.
Right.
As it pops up. But I work on it, and I'm so much more aware. And when I'm in my adult chair, I live from the seat of the observer. I catch myself. So really, that is how we love ourselves. We go from compassion to like to love for these beautiful inner parts that we have. And we learn they're not giving you that, even that ruminating voice that says, I hate you, you are disgusting. I've looked at those parts. I have faced those parts. Oh my God. I promise they transform when you look at them. I've had a part, maybe about a year ago, I remember, It was swearing at me. It said, I effing hate you, Michelle. You're no good. You're a fraud. Who the hell do you think you are? I mean, it went on and on and on. And I looked at it and I said, really? Because I love you. I know you're just a part of me and I love you. And I kept repeating, I love you to it. It transformed. Yeah. It went from this really ugly part to a little girl standing in front of me. So the mask was over this precious, vulnerable little girl. So that's, I do a lot with self-love. Sure.
That's amazing. And then once we do that, we only have about 45 seconds left, believe it or not. Once we can do that, we have the ability to be able to have healthy relationships with other people, right?
Yes. Everything changes. It transforms. Yeah. But it starts with us first. You got to find your adult. You got to find that healthy adult within yourself.
Michelle, this has been fascinating. I want to be honest with you as the day is long. I am a better person tonight because I've had a chance to to talk to you for this last hour, and I've learned some things that I'm going to take with me probably for the rest of my life. So thank you for being with us tonight.
Oh,
it's been an honor.
Thank you.
Been an honor. I want everybody just to jump in and get on theadultchair.com, listen to her podcast, especially the ones on shame, discovering self-love, how to have healthy relationships. I believe she has a top five podcast list there. Get in there and listen to these shows and then jump into this free resource of theadultchair.com/innerchild. And I promise you, I'm going to get on there tonight and look at that and learn some things about myself that I need to work on. Thank you, Michelle, for being with us tonight. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
And I will be on your program in a couple weeks, and I'll be talking to you and Sharon this week. And we'll set that. I think we have it in stone for like November 20th, something like that. But we'll do that. It'd be an honor to be on your program. Thanks so much for being with us tonight. Folks, we appreciate everything that you are and who you are. And if you're right in the middle of something in your life you don't know how to handle, you think maybe it's just overwhelming, maybe something that's happened in the past or something that you're involved in right now, I want to let you know, as long as you're breathing, as long as you're still alive, there is always hope. There's always hope. Don't give up on hope. There's always somebody that'll be able to help you, to be able to get you to the level that you need to. We want to thank you for joining us tonight, and want to thank again for Michelle for being with us. Join us next week right here at 8 p.m. Central Time for another edition of Breaking the Silence. Have an awesome week, and God bless.
Thank you for listening to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. To contact Dr. Williams, dial 832-396-6525 or email him at shatteredbythedarkness@gmail.com. And don't forget to join us each Sunday night at 8 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Pacific on BBS Radio Station 1, for the next episode of Breaking the Silence.